see each of you tonight, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Genesis and the 8th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, the book of Genesis and the 8th chapter. And if you would, look with me beginning at verse 20. Genesis chapter 8, beginning at verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. When you read the book of Genesis, you'll find what is identified as the book of beginnings. And you'll find it contains the seeds of all the great doctrines that come from the book of God. You'll see that they become full grown through the rest of the Bible. And it's no wonder that the book of Genesis has become the target of so many people who are critics. Individuals who are critical of God's holy word and of God's inspired word. And when you look at the book of Genesis, you'll find that it sets forth the generations, the record of the generation of the people. When you go back to the book of Genesis and the first chapter, you'll find in verse 1 that God created the heavens and the earth. However, at the same time, it reveals to us that after God's creation and the creation of man, that man began to do that which was evil in his eyes. Adam and Eve transgressed the law of God and introduced sin into the world. And this same book deals with the sin of the people in the days of Noah when they became individuals who were degenerate and individuals who did not follow God's holy will but rebelled against the holy God. However, with all the people of that day that were living in sin, with their mind upon evil continuously and their imaginations upon that which was ungodly, you'll find there was a righteous man, and that man was identified as Noah. And when you read about that man named Noah, you'll find that he found grace in the eyes of God. And you'll remember that God told that man to build an ark, and that man followed the specific guidelines God gave and built the ark. Then God sent the flood to destroy those who were degenerate, those who had not followed His will, those who had rebelled and had their mind upon evil continuously. And yet because Noah obeyed God, you remember that Noah was saved. I want you to think about, though, when you come to the book of Genesis and the 8th chapter, that there's something else Noah built. After the Noah got off the ark and after Noah had got back on the earth, have you ever noticed that he built something besides the ark? In your Bible, in the book of Genesis and the 8th chapter, I want you to look at verse 20 and notice that the divine word of God said that Noah built an altar. Now that's of utmost importance. I want you first to stop and to recognize that Noah builds an altar for the purpose of worshiping God. In that day and time, under that dispensation, animal sacrifices were needed. And thus Noah built an altar. Now I want to raise a question to you this morning. When did Noah build the altar? Notice, my friend, it was after he built the ark. He built the altar after he was saved from the flood. It was after the great concurrence had happened and God had delivered him and God had saved him and he was taken out of the flood and put into the ark. And I want you to recognize it was after he was saved from the flood and upon the day God specified. Noah built an altar when God directed him to. And that man worshiped God. He worshiped the God that had saved him from the flood. But then I want you to notice a second thing. Where did he worship God? When you stop and look at that in Genesis chapter 8, notice that he worshiped God at the altar built for God. Now I want you to note, my friend, that he offered the sacrifice unto God at the altar of God. Now I want to raise a question to you tonight. Let's just say there were many altars. Would one altar be as good as another? Someone might say, sure. But I want you to stop and recognize that this altar was built for a specific purpose. It was built to give God glory. In your Bible, notice in Genesis chapter 8 that the Bible says, "And Noah built an altar to the Lord." He built it for that specific purpose. He built it so that God would be praised. And it was an altar unto God. Not the altar of man, but an altar to which God would be worshipped and God would be glorified. So when I read my Bible, I recognize that not just any altar would suffice. It was an altar built unto the Lord. Then I want you to think about a third thing. Not only do I stop and recognize when he worshipped, and not only do I recognize where he worshipped, but notice how he worshipped. Have you ever stopped and looked at how Noah worshipped God? Have you ever just noticed that Noah stopped, and when he stopped to praise God and glorify God, he did so in the way God directed? There might have been a lot of things on the mind of Noah, but Noah was concerned about glorifying the God who saved him. And Noah did not go about finding a new way to worship God. He went by the way God directed. Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, notice what he does. In verse 20, he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt sacrifices on the Lord. Well, why? Why clean? Do you not remember before he got on the ark, what did God tell him? He said, "You take two of every kind, but when it came to the clean animals, you take more." Why? He was to offer them as sacrifices. You wouldn't offer an animal that would be unclean to a man unto God. He offered what God had specified, that which was clean, that which God would accept. So then read your Bible again and look at verse 21. Have you ever stopped and thought of 21? Because he worshipped when God told him, he worshipped where God told him, and he worshipped how God told him, that God accepted his worship. In verse 21, "The Lord smelled a soothing aroma, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground." Why? The worship of Noah pleased him. Now what I want to do is take that, make application to our lives in the lesson journey. This lesson wouldn't be complete if we just stopped there. I want us to make the application to our day. The first thing I want us to think about is, when must we worship? Now, I want to talk about it in two different ways. Someone may say, "Preacher, we must worship on the first day of the week." That's exactly right when we come together. And I read that in Acts 20, verse 7. I see that in 1 Corinthians 16, 1. But I want to tell you something else. I want you to think about where to worship after we've been saved from our sins. It would be out of harmony of the will of God to worship and offer worship unto God if we're still living in our sins. Just as Noah was saved Noah worshipped after he was saved from the flood, we worship God but when we come out of the grave of baptism. After we've been redeemed and we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And when you come to 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writing on this occasion, Peter says in verse 5 of 1 Peter 2, he says that when God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, what did he do? Bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly. I want you to think about that. God did not spare those people. But what did he do? He saved Noah. And what did Noah do? Noah worshipped. When? After he'd been redeemed. After he'd been spared. After God had brought him out of that. Then if you take your Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at what he says. In 1 Peter 2, look down at verse 5. He says, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Look at what we are to be. Do you recognize that when we come together as the people who've been redeemed and saved by the blood of Christ, that we are a spiritual house? Do you recognize that we are to offer up living sacrifices? We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And look at that last line, which are acceptable to God. Have you ever thought that after I've been redeemed, after I've been bought by the blood of Christ, after I've been saved, I come and I worship God, I praise God? Then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Acts in the second chapter. in the book of Acts in the second chapter. Look, if you will, and notice verse 41. In verse 41, those who had gladly received His word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 souls were added. 3,000 put on Christ in baptism. Then look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Worship. When you see what God has done to save your soul from eternal damnation, you can't help but worship Him. When you see what you deserve and yet what He's willing to give, you will worship. I believe we won't just pray in a building. I believe in our individual day life, we'll sing, we'll pray, we'll let God know we love Him. Oh, I would I could get that in the hearts of men and women. That we need to worship God. But the second thing is, where do we worship? Now, I recognize on an individual basis I can sing and pray. But I also recognize that we need to come to the altar of God. And this is the body of Christ. Open your Bible, if you will, back to Matthew 26. And look at what He said in Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, when do we partake of the Lord's Supper? Acts 20, verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week. But notice something else. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul is writing this epistle to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 17, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together, watch it, as a church." When are we the church? When we're individuals? No. When we come together. Out here, I'm an individual Christian. Paul says in verse 18, when you come together as a church. An individual can do some things. The church, the collectivity, the body, the people united are to be specified to do other things. And notice what their problem was. They were not partaking the Lord's Supper together as they should. And Paul condemns that. So where do we come together? We come together, as we read in 1 Peter 2:5, in the spiritual house, as the royal priesthood. And may I say something? This building's just a building. I hear people say, this is the house of God. No, the church is the people. The people are the house of God. We are built up to be living stones. Sometimes I'm afraid we almost have the concept of what the Catholics have, that the building is more than what it should be. I want us to understand the building set aside to do spiritual work. But the thing that is holy is God's people. Sometimes if we're not careful, we almost get a denominational mindset of this building. Now, I want us to understand tonight, and I say this with love and humility, that the thing that has been set aside is the people of God. God pity the day that a building is considered holy and not the people. I'll tell you what, if the only thing we have to attract people is this building, we might as well close the doors and forget it. What attracts people is Christianity. And if we're not worshiping in spirit and truth, then we're not worshiping according to God. And I'll tell you something, He won't accept it. But I want you to think about a third thing. How do we worship? We worship as God says. The only way I know to worship God is to listen to what He says. Whatever He has revealed, that's it. There's nothing else I know to do. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, in verse 34, He says that God is no respecter of person. All worship God in the same way. In John 4, in verse 24, you remember He talks about the truth, that God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and truth. So when we come together and we pray and we take of the Lord's Supper, when we hear gospel preaching and we sing to the Lord, as Brother Larry said a moment ago, we are worshiping God as God has revealed. I could read in Colossians 3:16 where I'm to sing to the Lord. I can't read about any other way. I realize when I sing, God's pleased. Someone may say, now preacher, that's just the thing with you and the Church of Christ. You all just opposed instrumental music. No, my friend. I just don't see any authority for it. I like instrumental music in my private life. Driving down the road, I listen to George Jones and different ones. I love Elvis. Sing to him. Sound good in the car when he's turned up like. I want to tell you something. When we come together as the body, we worship according to the past. And remember, we worship God. We don't worship the brethren. Just as Noah didn't worship the ark, we don't worship the Bible. And that doesn't belittle the church or the Bible. They're in their place as God directed. But the Bible leads us to the one we worship. And what's the result? Remember the days, the words in the days of Noah. God was pleased and savored such a sweet savor. Bless Noah and his sons. And if we desire the blessing of God, I'll tell you something, we must worship Him as He's commanded. And tonight, what my plea is that we get back to the Bible and the past and see the duty of worshiping God and receiving His blessings. Think about why was it Noah found grace in his eyes? He worshiped He loved God. And God said, I'll show mercy to you. In the day of judgment, who will God show mercy to? The one who despises His commands and worships any way he wants, at his own time, in his own way? I'll tell you, there's a lot of worship God does not receive and accept. Because man doesn't give it to Him the way He tells him to. And the only way I know to worship that He'll be pleased is to take what He's told me through His Word and glorify Him as He's directed. Any other way, God says, I won't accept it. If you're here tonight and you need to be baptized into Christ, why don't you come and be a child of God so you can worship in spirit and truth and give Him glory all your days as together we